It's live expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are wide open, as they always are at the beginning of the show. Happy to have you call in and ask questions, see if I can do a little bit of guidance for you today. We have one more week, and I want to talk about this first, and I'll talk about it again next hour. So on my website, I created this incredible webinar called The Intentional Investor, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate. And I told you that this series, this nine-part series, was going to be part of a larger package that has nine ebooks. The ebooks are almost ready. And so we've been kind of quietly offering this Intentional Investor Series. I get a lot of questions from you about when we're going to have another event. And the answer is we're not going to have another event anytime soon. But this nine-part webinar series will take the place of it. It's 2.5 hours of video, nine ebooks altogether. And this is, I believe, the last week we're going to offer webinars only. They're on the website for $99 as an introductory price. That price is going away after about another week or so. When we get the ebooks and package them in, the whole thing together is going to be priced at $299, which is about what you would pay if you came to one of our events. So, but this is the special last week, and I'm just kind of giving you a heads up because we were just getting all the pieces together for this seminar, this webinar. And now they're almost ready. So the price is going up. This is the last week. We're just going to offer the webinars. Go to any page on my website, thinkglink.com. If you are going to invest in real estate and take advantage of the end of what has been the most incredible run for real estate investors in our lifetimes, I told you like 6-7 years ago that this would be the most incredible time in our lifetimes for it. It is, and it's going to be ending in about another, well, it just depends, and we're going to talk about why in a moment. But if you are interested and you want to buy investment real estate, you need to have the very best information you can. This is where you'll find it. ThinkGlink.com. Go there, click on the red house, buy it. If you want to buy just the webinars only, that's what's available today. And starting next week, we're going to have it packaged up with the ebooks, which are not hundreds of pages of information from really smart investors, all of it put together. So you can find out more at thinklink.com. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter. We're already chatting today about what kind of coffee you're drinking. I had half calf today. It was not a late night. It was good. But a lot of our listeners are already, tossing them back. Espressos, full caffeinated beverages. Honey. Have you ever put honey in your coffee? It sounds delicious. Somebody else did that online. So follow me on Twitter for the rest of the conversation. At Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. All right, 10 minutes past the hour. I got interviewed by Fox News this week. In fact, they came out on, I want to say it was Friday, to do an interview that you may have actually seen pieces of this interview all over Fox News, because what we talked about was the real estate market and my deep-seated belief that we are in the middle of watching a mini-bubble form. Mortgage interest rates jumped up over the last 3 weeks to the highest point in a year, 3.81% for a 30-year fixed. And do you know what I've been hearing? My inbox has been filled with people who wonder if it's still a good time to buy a house. Folks, interest rates are 3.81%. As I often say on this show, when I went and bought my first property, I paid 11.75%, and I thought I was really lucky to get it. You still have property prices that, while they are bumping up 10% in a year, which, by the way, can never continue, they're still 25 or 30% below the height of where they were. They'll get back to that place again, just not anytime soon. Remember, if you have a property that was worth $200,000 and it loses 50% in value, we're just going to do a little math here, right? It's now worth $100,000. You've had a 50% price decline. But what's it going to take to get back to $200,000? It's going to take a 100% climb from where you are. So 10% gets you a property that's now worth $110,000, not $150,000, not $175,000, and not $200,000. And I'm not saying that the $200,000 property price was right 7 years ago, but it will be again at one point in time, and you're going to need a larger jump to get there. Is it still a good time to buy? Yes, it's a great time to buy, but that window is going to close. But the mini bubbles that I see forming, and this is what I told Fox News when they were there, and I was on Marketplace Money as well. You may have caught that interview. And if not, you can see it on my Twitter feed. Same thing with Marketplace Money. There are people out there who are deciding whether they can even afford to buy a house if interest rates are 3.85% versus 3.25%. People, if you can't afford to buy a property at 3.81%, the property's too expensive. You're too far at the edge. And when I think about what my five rules are for rebuilding America, one house at a time, number one on the list is get yourself to ground zero. And number two is take the pain now. Number three is don't mortgage your future. Buy what you can afford. Put a down payment down. It's so incredibly important to think about your life and your financial reality in a way that makes sense. You have to take it one step at a time. And while it seems like that'll just take forever, in my world, decades are evaporating. That's how fast time really moves. And so you'd start one step at a time, and in a blink of an eye, it's been 6 months, and you're so much further down the pike. When we say in our 20s that this is the time to really put away $1,000 a year, $2,000 a year, and you think to yourself, I'm in my 20s. I'm never going to retire. What's the point? The point is that in your daily life, $1,000 a year is relatively meaningless. It's about $80 a month, $20 a week. Now, I know for some people in their 40s who are struggling, $20 a week is not a trivial number. But when you're in your 20s and you're not supporting a family and you're not paying a mortgage, $20 a week should be doable, no matter what you're doing or what you're earning. And that $20 a week, that $1,000 a year, grows into hundreds of thousands of dollars by the time you're in your 60s and 70s. It's just one little thing that you can do every single week, week in and week out, and it's really just the vanilla road of it all. So why do I think a bubble is forming? I think a bubble is forming because we are in a place that, again, is artificially engineered. This is not organic growth we're seeing. I don't care what the real estate agents say. This is just an engineered situation where the Fed has artificially kept interest rates at this low rate. And yes, 3.8% is really low. 4.8% is really low. But when you're used to hearing 2.75%, none of that seems to matter anymore. When you're in a situation where artificially deflated interest rates, right? The Fed has artificially done this by buying $85 billion a month. They have pushed up the stock market, which, by the way, did you see it took a 200-point tumble on Friday? Why? Because there's some question about whether the Fed is going to keep this up, well, everybody knows it isn't, and when they're going to pull the plug. And the minute they pull the plug, you can expect to see a couple thousand-point decrease in the Dow. You can expect to see mortgage interest rates jump up. Now, the hope is that the years of doing the QE 1, 2, 3, and are we in 4? Who's keeping track anymore? That the years of doing this $85 billion a month pump into the economy is generating some real juice. And I'm telling you that I don't necessarily think it is. And on the other side of it, and this concerns me even more, we have had an artificial compression of homes for sale. The other reason that home prices are jumping up is there's not enough for people to buy, because people have finally woken up to the idea that 3.81% is awfully great. So they're going out to buy stuff only to find that there's a huge number of investors and hedge funds. You're competing against hedge funds for houses, for crying out loud. Tell me that's not artificially engineered. In what normal marketplace would a hedge fund be bidding against you for a house? When this goes away, life is going to change again. And so the Fed is hoping that the economy underlying principles will be strong enough underneath to get us through to the next level. And I don't know if they will. Is the getting good now? Absolutely. Get in and get some of your own. Just do it in a really smart way. All right, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's our numbers. Follow me on Twitter, at Glink. Sign up for my free weekly newsletter, thinkglink.com. Take advantage of the intentional investor, how to be wildly successful in real estate. I guarantee you are going to get value out of it. And I've never lied to you before, and I never will again. 18 minutes past the hour, I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours here on News Talk WSB.
Galileo's head was on the block. The crime was looking up.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. Follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Hey, Rhonda, I want to talk about short sales for a moment. If you do a short sale, are you going to owe money to the lender for the rest of your life?
It depends. But the goal is, with a short sale, to not owe money, right? So it's to get a release from the lender that they won't come back after you in the future. That's the whole purpose of a short sale. And yet a lot of people are confused. They're like, well, I don't have any money to pay a lender. Well, that is the whole purpose. If you were going to owe money, you would just foreclose and then they'd come after you for eons, right? But the key to a short sale is you get your package submitted to the lender, your lender, your mortgage company, first and second mortgage, right? And we submit it to them. We submit the package. We tell them all the facts. They look at it. They make their offer. And if the offer does not include allowing you to walk away with a zero or something that's acceptable, maybe a small promissory note or, you know, a small amount of cash, whatever they propose, that's the point where you say no as a seller or yes, okay? But I don't really know why there's so much confusion about, well, I don't have any money to pay the lender. Well, that's the whole point. So the question is, hopefully not.
Well, what I'm hearing from lenders is that they are very eager to process these short sales, particularly in a city like Atlanta, where there are really a huge number of foreclosures and short sales that actually haven't gone through the process yet. And with such a demand, they're, of course, hoping that prices get propped up a little bit.
Right.
The amount they're going to lose is going down. And they are very eager to just get them through the system, wipe the slate clean for sellers, and then just move on. And I think you're seeing that.
Yeah, we are. And they're in a weird position, too, because this has never been a time where you've had investors in the market, but the prices are rising the way that they are. And so the short sale lenders don't know if they should hold out and wait a little longer, if they should start processing it through.
Well, that's just going to slow them down, right?
Yeah,
if they can't make a decision.
Yeah, it actually stalled them out because they're thinking, well, maybe there's a little profit we can make here, or at least try to recover a little. So they're kind of stalled out in a lot of ways. But we still have a lot of short sales going through. I think we have 171 under contract right now. They're still going through.
Yeah.
So I think people are a little hesitant thinking short sales, they're not doing those anymore. They are. Just do it.
Okay. Find out more at RhondaDuffy.com. Rhonda, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more in a moment on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com at midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Blank. Thanks for joining me again. It's a little wet outside, but it's dry in here, at least for the moment. 404-872-0750. It's the Elise Blank Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are wide open. Happy to take your questions today about real estate, mortgage, refinancing, rebuilding, investing. How about investing in real estate? There's a topic. I want to go over the five rules for rebuilding America just quickly again, just so you get these in your head, because what I'd love to happen is that every day that you're out there rebuilding your own life, you think about these rules and you use them. You just kind of incorporate them naturally into what you're doing, because no matter where you are, whether you're incredibly wealthy and doing great, your business is great, or you've been fired, you're out of work, out of luck, out of money, out of time, and feeling incredibly stressed. No matter which end of that pendulum you're on, or maybe in the middle, you really want to think about what it's going to take to rebuild your life. And one thing that I've learned is that life is a process of rebuilding, constant rebuilding. We're always breaking down a piece of our lives, rebuilding it, doing it better, moving ahead. It's when you get stuck, and you can be stuck metaphorically, you can be stuck in the mud, you can literally be stuck in a job for 20 years that isn't the right thing. When you're stuck, you've got your head in the sand. You are not opening your mail. You're not opening the door to new opportunities. You're not answering your phone. You're not opening email. You're not out there searching for what's going to be new and next and wonderful for you. You're not really rebuilding. You're not pushing yourself to get out there. And I want you to do that. It is so incredibly important that you constantly think in the back of your head, like in the RAM. My husband Sam calls it the RAM. How's your RAM doing, Elise? And I'll say, well, I'm a little overloaded at the moment. Things are slowing down. And he said, you've got to unload, got to unpack all these things that are kind of crowding your brain behind the scenes, right? It seems like, oh, nothing's on my mind, everything's fine. But in reality, it's not. I had this conversation with a friend of mine earlier this week, and I said, you know, what's going on with you? And she said, no, everything's good. I said, really? Because you don't seem to quite be you. Things are, it seemed like they're breaking down. You're making mistakes. You're doing things you wouldn't normally do. You know, we see it. We're concerned. And she said, well, and then it kind of unpacked for me, right? I watched her kind of unpack her RAM and take it apart. And she said, you know, it's true. It's the end of the school year. Things are crazy. You know, kids and my husband's unhappy at work. And whatever was in that bucket that was running around in the back of her brain, getting in the way of her actually doing what she wanted to do. And we could tell. And what she thought she had done was compartmentalize it. She thought she had it all packed up in a little basket in the back of her brain where it was whirling and whirling and whirling. And she hadn't compartmentalized it. She hadn't put it away. It kind of came out and came through what she was doing every single day. So look at yourself. How is that working for you? I see it in me all the time. So we've done a lot of videotaping this week. We've done some new real estate minutes, which we're going to be putting up on our YouTube channel this week. A lot of good stuff there. We're going to tape some more tomorrow. But I'm away on business trips 4 weeks out of June. And if you count them, there are only 4 weeks in June. And so in the back of my brain, I'm thinking, whirling, whirling, whirling about what materials do I need for the trip? I'm going to a conference. I'm going to another conference. I've got some meetings. I've got some video. I'll be in New York. I'm all over the country. And I have to figure out a way to download that. It's so funny how we do tech speak to talk about other things, right? I have to download all that information out of my brain, put a big list together so that it's not in my head, so I can really focus on what I need to do. So what are the rules for rebuilding America, right? It's get yourself to ground zero. Understand where the point is that you can draw a line in the sand and move forward. Usually we talk about this in financial terms or in real estate terms, but it might be emotional for you. This whole thing, this financial future thing for you, rebuilding your financial future, it may not actually be primarily about the money. I mean, there's always a financial component, right? Because it's rebuilding your financial life. But it might actually be emotional for you, intellectual. It could be that something else is making you stuck. And so when you get yourself to ground zero, that is the point at which you can unstick. You can pick your feet up off the ground and actually do something. And if you don't know where ground zero is, you can't get there. You got to really think about what's going to be the starting point? Where am I going to go? How am I going to get there? And from there, where do I move? Rule number two is take the pain now. None of this gets easier. If you just delay, it builds up in your mind, right? If this is all a mental thing anyway, going on behind the scenes as you live your day-to-day life, it's just going to get bigger and more painful. Taking the pain now means you're at ground zero. You have seen the worst of it. You've faced your fears. It's really hard for people to face their fears. I have a fear of dying young, probably because my dad died young. He was 49. I'm 48. I'll be 49 next month, July. And I don't actually think that I'm going to die at 49 or this radio show career I've got going won't be cut short, but it's in the back of my head. It's running around. It's one of those things that I know is taking up space. And I've got to continually unpack that from my brain and stick it out where I can see it. So it's not behind the scenes running. It's in front of me. It's where my ground zero is. I know that's where the pain is. And I know that facing that fear is going to make it less so, less painful, less of a hindrance. So I don't like to do it, right? Just like I don't like to buy life insurance. I'm just like you. I don't like to buy life insurance because it makes me face my fears. It makes me think about really painful things that I don't want to think about. And so every time, you know, every few years when Sam and I have to reevaluate our insurance, it's a long process for me. I know it should be fast, right? I'm the expert. I'm the one who tells you how to do it, and I know how to do it. The problem is I'm human. And so, like you, my fear, that fear I have, is something I have to face. Every time I do a drop-down menu and it asks me about my parents' medical history. Point number three, rules for rebuilding America, number three. You've got to make strategic, not emotional decisions. Strategic. So what do I mean by that? So one of the women who works for me came and she's getting a windfall. There was a lawsuit that she just became a party to. It was a big corporate lawsuit from where she used to work. And the upshot is she's going to get a check for like $14,000. And she said, what should I do with it? We want to buy a house someday. And we had this conversation about what is the strategic decision. The emotional decision is for her to put it into a savings account earning nothing and just wait until it's time to buy. And then she's got this pot of money. And I said, you know, your husband that you married a year ago has all this debt from school that he never expected to have. That was their little wedding gift from his father. Use this money to get that paid off. Because until you do that, it's just going to complicate everything. And it's a strategic decision to get it. It'll pay the most, biggest chunk of the debt off, and then they'll have a little bit left. And then you throw everything you can at that little bit of debt that's left off, and then you move forward. Because then you can really save for your future. You can really start it from the ground going. And to have, you know, a pot of money at 0% interest when you're paying out 5, 6, 7, 8, 9% interest on a couple of these student loans makes no sense. That is not the way to get rich. That is not the way to have a strong financial future. The strategic decision is to get rid of the debt. The emotional decision is, I want to do right by this money. And so you've got to think about, again, what's going to make the most sense. You're building a life with someone. Get rid of the debt. Take the pain now. Get yourself to ground zero. Be strategic, not emotional. Number four, any buying decisions that you make, you've got to put substantial cash down. You cannot mortgage your future anymore. Because if I'm right, and this is, and there are mini bubbles, real estate bubbles forming all over the place, you don't want to be caught up. You don't want to be overextended. It's like I said when I started the show. If 3.81% sounds too high for you to buy a house and your house is suddenly maybe not affordable, you are buying too big a house. You can't really afford that house. Even if that house should be worth 50% more than it is, it doesn't matter. What matters is, what can you afford? What can you put skin in the game on? What makes sense for you today? I guarantee that if you buy a little less than you can afford, or as I like to call it, underbuying, the American dream's going to be there for you in 30 years. It's all going to be there for you. But this idea that we're going to buy is our first house, the house that our parents have been living in for 40 years, doesn't work that way. Finally, point number five, and I say this to you all the time, do not sign any legal document until you read and understand every word. Right? You can't, because you have to understand what's hidden in the document, what's going on there. Understanding those legal documents, it's just getting more litigious, more legalese, more garbage that you have to wade through to get to what's really important. You can so easily sign your life away. I don't want you to. If you're going to rebuild America, rebuild yourself, rebuild your neighborhood, rebuild your community, these are the five things that you have to do. All right, we will take some questions if you call in, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more of the Elise Glink Show next on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinkglink.com and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
You have just begun.
54 minutes past the hour on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time. How can I help you today? 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Robert joins us on the line from Cartersville. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. What's going on in your world?
I started my own business in 08. I made a silly mistake of taking 125% mortgage off my home, or refinancing my home to help my business. And my business didn't work out. You know, I was unemployed for quite some time. I've got a good steady job now. And the mortgage companies worked with me as far as, you know, taking everything that I was behind and put it in the, I guess, in the arrears. But I'm still stuck with my home mortgages taking, you know, almost three quarters of my monthly income.
Wow, that's huge.
And listening to you talk about getting your head out of the sand, I mean, I don't qualify for HARP or any other program until, I guess, I'm being current for 12 months in a row.
Right. How many more months do you have?
I got 7 more months.
Okay.
Every time I get a little hiccup comes by, you know, my wife's car needs, you know, something major done to it, et cetera, et cetera. It, you know, as tight as we are, it throws a monkey wrench in it.
Right.
And I don't know whether I should, you know, bite the bullet and say, you know what, now's not the time to be a homeowner and either do a short sale or whatever other options there are, or, you know, fight through.
How far underwater are you?
House is worth $149,000, $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
My current balance on my mortgage is $170,000 with about $30,000 that they put of interest that they put, I guess, in the rear.
Okay. So let me just say, Robert, that in 2008 might have been the worst time in 100 years to start a business.
I know, but I got laid off.
No. I'm not saying that it isn't great to try. That don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
Okay.
I'm saying that no matter what kind of business you started in 2008, 2008 and 2009 and 2010 were disasters. My own business, which I've been in business for 25 years, took a huge hit in 2009. So that's what the depth of this great recession was all about. But taking the pain now for you means getting out of this house. There are a lot of properties that people want to buy. And if you're in a good neighborhood, you can just let this go. Let this go and focus on rebuilding your personal credit, your finances. Because I'm betting, Robert, that you're going to sleep so much better at night if you don't have to wonder how you're going to make ends meet with paying a mortgage at 12.5% or whatever it is. If you don't have to spend three quarters of your take-home pay, and God knows how you're paying for medicine and food, and obviously your wife's car getting, you know, needing something is a huge wrench. Imagine how good you're going to feel. So the pain for you, you know where ground zero is. You've just said it to me. It's getting rid of this house, getting rid of this albatross that's around your neck, and letting yourself breathe for a while. Taking the pain now of a short sale, and then starting to rebuild. In a couple of years, interest rates will still be a lot lower than 12.5%, and you're going to be in a position to start again with buying a house. But in the meantime, get a cheap rental and relax. That's the best thing that you can do. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, one house at a time. We'll be back in a moment with more of your questions next here on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
Hey everybody, welcome back. It is 7 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink, where we are rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. Our number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to take your calls. Happy to connect with you on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. Don't forget to sign up for the free weekly newsletter, thinkglink.com. If you're interested in investing in real estate, check out our webinars. Just click on the red house. All right, 404-872-0750. We have some lines open. Would be happy to take your calls. Brad joins us on the line from Covington. Hi, Brad.
Hi.
How are you? Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
How can I help you today?
I'm in kind of a sticky situation. Just finished a long-term rehab center, and I haven't made a mortgage payment or contacted them within this two-year period, and just didn't know what steps to take towards doing that.
So what happened to you? How did you end up in rehab?
I was alcohol abuse. Just a long story, really.
You know, it's not that long a radio show, but... But let me just say that that kind of rehab, that's where you really understand what getting to ground zero is all about.
Oh, yeah.
So when I was talking about that, something must have lit up in your brain, because I'm sure you have gone through a whole lot of digging to find your ground zero, and I'm sure there's been a lot of pain over the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
So you've come out of rehab, you're back in your house...
No, I'm not. I'm driven by it. It's just all grown up. No activity there.
Is the house? Did the house go into foreclosure?
I'm not even sure. I purchased it in '04. Last payment I made was in 2010, latter part of 2010, and haven't had contact with anyone since.
So it's really important to understand where you are when you're at ground zero financially. So emotionally, I can tell that you're ready to start taking some steps forward, and that's great, because when you've been stuck for as long as you've been stuck, as I like to say, any step in any direction is a step forward.
Yeah, I heard you say that last week. It really kind of motivated me.
I'm so glad to hear that. Thank you for saying that. So where are you living now?
In a roommate situation, with a couple of guys that graduated the program with myself.
That's good. So you guys are keeping yourself on stable ground. That's really important.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have access to the internet?
I do.
Okay. So I want to give you a series of easy steps so that you feel like you're accomplishing something and you're not frustrated. And you may be shocked by what you find out.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Because part of getting yourself unstuck and part of yourself getting your head out of the sand is to actually look around and see what the world looks like. And you know that getting yourself to ground zero means you got to just kind of be real about where you are. And so when you, what you need to do first is take stock of where you are. And so what I would do is I would go to annualcreditreport.com and I would pull a copy of your credit history and I would pay the $9 for a credit score. And I would see what it looks like. I will tell you the very worst it could be is about 350 to 375. But only once in all my years on the radio have I ever seen somebody who's had a credit score that low. So consider that to be the very baseline, and you will probably find yourself somewhere in the 400 or 500 range. If you find yourself in the upper fives or low sixes, that's terrific. What you're looking for is activity on the house, if it was foreclosed. And that should show up as a foreclosure on your credit history. So you want to see where you are with the house. Then you're going to, if it shows that it's been foreclosed on, you're going to want to call the bank and just be sure that they've really taken possession of it and it's all gone and your name is off of everything.
Okay.
Now, you may also be able to go online in your community and look up the tax records and see there if you're, if the lien is out of your name entirely, and that means the bank's foreclosed and taken back the property. Now, it's entirely possible that that hasn't happened and that the bank has been waiting to hear from you. So if you see that the house is still in your name and you just have a 2 years of late payments, it's time to pick up the phone and talk to the lender about doing a deed in lieu of foreclosure, giving back the house. Are you working again?
Periodically, nothing permanent, just here and there doing handyman type stuff.
Okay, so this is a good time to get rid of everything. If you bought your house in 2004, it's likely that it's underwater. So if it's underwater, it's going to be tough for you to get back up on the other side of that now that you're 2 years behind in your mortgage and you've got 2 years worth of payments that haven't been made. So you just, I think what you're going to find is that the best thing to do is just cut it all off. Close off on this part of your life.
Yeah.
Know in your heart, Brad, there are houses for you to buy in the future. There are assets to be rebuilt. There's all kinds of stuff to do. There are all kinds of these mountains to climb, but it doesn't have to be today. The way you start that process is getting yourself to ground zero financially, just like you did in rehab, and taking the pain now. And that means that just starting fresh is going to be the best way to go.
Okay.
And I don't want you to see that as a failure. I want you to see it as a step forward. Because that's really what it is. You had a contract with your bank called a mortgage where you agreed to make payments. And they agreed that if you didn't make payments, they would take back the house. That's a business arrangement.
Uh-huh.
It is not a promise to God. Right? So
right.
I want you to see it for what it really is. There are people who feel like this is a moral obligation to repay your debts. And I suppose for some people that is what they are signing. But legally, in black and white, your mortgage agreement is going to say this other thing. Now, do you have all of your personal papers from the house?
I do. I just cleared out a storage unit, and I just have to dig them up. But sure, I can find the contact information.
Yep, I think you should do that. And I think you should go look at annualcreditreport.com and see what it is, take a look at the bad news, and just understand that this is the last time in your life that credit score is going to be that low.
Okay.
Right? Because it's important to know where the bottom is. So
I'm very familiar with that.
I know you are. And that's why I can say it to you, because I know that you know better than almost anybody. But this is the last piece, and I'm really glad that you were motivated to call today, because I think sometimes people get stuck and then they never move to the last piece. It almost seems like, well, I've done all this work, and now this last piece is just way too much work for me. It's just one more straw that's going to be in the camel's back, and the camel's going to collapse, and I just can't deal with it. But
yeah, just completely overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. But I'm here to tell you there are steps that you can take, easy ones, and that's why I want you to first just take a look at the bad news and then dig out the loan, call the lender, and if you get somebody who just doesn't seem to know what they're doing, I want you to hang up and call right back. There's a call center of 25,000 people at every single big lender's office. Well, they're not in the office. They're in some back office in, like, Arizona. But you just call back until you get somebody smart.
Okay.
No, really. Don't take it personally. Don't allow them to pass judgment on you. The minute they start with that, just hang up. Don't even say goodbye. Just hang up and call back. You'll get somebody different.
Wow, okay.
And, you know, and I wish I could say that all customer service was fabulous. It's not. It's just not. I want you to do that. And if you take those couple of steps and you get that ball rolling, before you know it, it's going to be going 60 miles an hour.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Will you call me back next week and let me know what goes on?
I sure will.
I will be your coach through this if you want it.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome. Have a very good and productive week. 404-872-0750-1-800-WSB-TALK. We've still got some lines open. I'd be happy to take your calls. We also have a prize pack coming up next, so stay tuned to News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glenk, rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glenk Show. Live on Sundays here on News Talk WSB. We are going to do our prize pack right now. It includes a pair of tickets to see the Indigo Girls and Joan Baez in concert June 15th at Chastain Park Amphitheater, produced by ASO Presents. A pair of tickets to see Star Trek Into Darkness, courtesy of Regal Entertainment Group, and a maintenance agreement for two, count them, two, complete HVAC tune-ups, courtesy of Shoemate Air Conditioning and Heating. Prize value, $323. And you can get it if you're going to be the fifth caller, 404-741-0750. Be nice to Crystal, though you may have to arm wrestle her for those Indigo Girl tickets. I don't know. Good luck. All right, 25 minutes past the hour. Let's go back to the phones. Carl joins us on the line from Atlanta. So, Carl, you've got a good customer service story to share, really?
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Elise, can I mention where I work, or would you prefer I not?
Well, what's your story first?
Well, I give, as well as the people I work with, excellent customer service to our clients, the organization. It's a nonprofit organization who helps people with vision, who helps people with hearing aids, who helps people with dental work. And it just it gnaws at me when I hear you or Clark Howard making these statements. When you say bad customer service, I, too, have been the recipient of bad customer service. But there are people out there who we really do everything we can for the client. We walk them through the application process. We tell them what the requirements are. We really give the extra time to these people. So, you know, I have the greatest respect and admiration for you, your show, Clark Howard, his show. But when y'all make a comment like that or are so quick to agree with a caller, it's like with a broad paintbrush, it makes me feel like all customer service is no good.
Well, you know that's not true, Carl, because you give great customer service. So maybe what you should do is go to the big banks and offer to redo their customer service for them, because I will tell you that it's very rare. In fact, I can't even remember more than maybe three calls in the last 7 years from somebody who said, I called one of the big banks and had a great customer service experience.
I understand.
When I talk about financial services, you're not in financial services.
Okay.
So you shouldn't feel broad brushed.
Okay, I just want to let your listeners know that there are people who give 110% to give as close to excellent customer service as we can for their benefit.
I'm glad to know. Carl, thank you so much for sharing it. I appreciate you listening to the show and keeping me honest. It's all fair. I really, really believe that. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink. We are rebuilding America one house at a time, and we will be back in just a moment with more. Coming up next here on News Talk WSB. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show. It is 36 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink, rebuilding America one house at a time. Our number, 404-872-0750. You can also find me on my website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. You can send questions to questions@thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter @Glink and check out some of the great information in the ThinkLink community, like at the Equifax Finance blog, Yahoo, CBS News, where we put up best cities for newlyweds. It's June. People are getting married. And they're looking for a place to live. So you can check that out at cbsnews.com. Or just go to ThinkLink and sign up for the free weekly newsletter, because then we send all the content in the week to you. So you've got links all in one place. ThinkLink. It's a good thing to do. 404-872-0750. Charles joins us on the line. Hey, Charles.
Hello, Lee. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on in your world?
Well, I'm one of those accidental landlords to read about in the paper. Can I just give you the setup first, and then I'll ask the question?
Yeah, absolutely.
Purchased a house about 10 years ago, and lived in it as my primary residence, and put quite a bit of money into it, and I fortunately was able to save all those receipts. And then in the downturn, could not sell it, and actually rented it out about a year ago, so mm-hmm. very thankful for that. But I'm not really cut out to be a landlord, so eventually I definitely want to sell it. So my question is, at some point in the future, it's not going to be my primary residence, and I think I understand
it already
that.
Isn't your primary residence.
Okay.
Right?
So
you said you rented it out a year ago, right?
Yes, but isn't it the three in the last five?
It is two out of the last five, or three out of the last five, one of the two.
So the way I read it was still my primary residence until next year. And so my question is, when it changes over to not my primary residence, can I still, if I eventually sold it, can I still use those capital improvement receipts that I have when it was my primary residence to offset the capital gain?
Yes. Are you taking the depreciation deduction?
I did this last year.
So when you sell this property, unless you sell it, there's a couple of things about this rule that we should go over, but when you sell this property, you'll have to recapture the depreciation you've taken. Now, it's only 1 or 2 years. It won't be that much. But, and some of that may be offset against the loss if the house is still underwater, all of which can be avoided if you trade this house for another rental property, which I don't know if you intend to do or not. Do you have equity in the property?
I do.
Okay. So one thing to keep in mind is the depreciation. The second thing to keep in mind is if you did have a profit in the property and you sell it having lived in it for at least two of the last 5 years, so you would still qualify for a little bit longer, actually. Then you would be able, and there was profit, you'd be able to keep a lot of that profit tax-free. If you're married, up to $500,000 in profit. So what would profit be? Profit is the purchase price and any costs of purchase and any costs of capital improvements, like the one you've been talking about, subtracted from the sales price. And then off of that net price comes depreciation recapture.
Okay.
So I think you actually got another 2 years of being able to rent it out to get to a place where you might be able to sell it. Now, when is the lease up for these people, and why is it that you don't like being a landlord?
Well, I mean, I'm just not cut out for it. I mean, I'm so thankful they were able to do it, and it's been working out great, and everything's fine. It's just that's not really my thing.
You sound like my husband, Sam. A real estate attorney, detail-oriented, loves the whole thing, but, you know, when it comes to actually doing, being a landlord, not so fond of it. Just doesn't like to deal with all those people. So we have two rental properties, and they're each rented now for 2 years, and he's really happy that he doesn't have to actually think about it for 2 years.
So what you're telling me, if I understand it, is that there's really no tax consequences, the deadline looming in my future that would force me to sell it faster than perhaps I wanted to, because I can go back and get those receipts from my 10 years that I own the house and show that I put money into the house and show on paper that I improve the house, a capital improvement to offset the capital gain.
Yes, you will be able to do that no matter what.
Okay, very good.
So that, it will, okay, so if there is a profit in the house down the line, you do have the recapture, and at some point in time, you will become ineligible to keep a chunk of that capital gains tax-free. But if you can offset it with the improvements you put into the property, basically you'll get the cash back, and then you just have to pay the recapture. And it will have an impact, though, on your overall taxes and tax rate. So you probably want to chat with a tax preparer or your accountant so that you understand the impact before you do it. Okay?
Okay, very good. I appreciate your advice and input.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good luck with that. I hope it goes well. The Accidental Landlord. Sounds like a great title for a book. For those of you who want to be more intentional landlords, my Intentional Investor Series, How to Be Wildly Successful in Real Estate, that's the place to get the information. This is the last week where we're selling the webinars only. So go to the website, thinkglink.com, click on the red house. If you're interested in webinars only at this price point, great. If you want to wait for the 9 ebooks that are going with it, I've got one more week to go, and then we will offer some sort of special deal before we put it out there. 404-872-0750. It is 42 minutes past the hour. John joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Hi, John.
How you doing, Lisa? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help you today?
Well, there's a property for sale up here in Cherokee where I like to I've got a couple other properties, but those were bought years ago and I'm still good. I'm real good with those properties. Well, this, with all this depression, recession, everything, prices fell and they're coming back up. And this property, is a, short sale. The asking price was $125.
Mm-hmm.
Put a contract on it back in February and we've been waiting and waiting. They came back and said, give me your best price. I offered them $90. And that was in March, and I'm waiting. Well, they came back yesterday and said, $125. I don't think they're budging anymore. And with prices coming up, going into this bubble that you're talking about, I don't know if it's too much. It's a cute little house. I think it'll always be a rental. It's only 1,100 square feet. But the price seems to be, as of right now, full value. So I'm not sure what to do. I've, you know, probably got to make a decision.
So let me ask you a question, John.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want it going forward for 5 or 10 years, what can you get on a rental at 1,100? That rental, what do you think it rents out for today?
Today, $850.
Okay, $850 a month,
right,
at today's low interest rates.
Right.
What can you get for the interest rate?
$4.
Okay.
I'll put 20% down or maybe a little more just to keep it down so I can get it paid off in a reasonable time.
So it's about let's say it's a $100,000 loan.
Right.
And you're going to end up paying about $500 a month for the mortgage, taxes, and insurance, right? $500-$600 a month?
$500-$600, yeah. That's correct.
Okay. So $600 a month and you're going to get $850 in.
Right.
And in what world would you not do this deal?
Well, I'm just, I don't want to.
I'm just asking because you've got the $25,000, $30,000 sitting in a bank account earning nothing.
Doing nothing, absolutely nothing.
So now you're going to get you're going to clear $200 a month.
Right.
You'll get somebody in there for the long run. You're going to hold this house for 5 years, 10 years.
Right.
Where at the end of the time, when it comes time to sell it, it won't be $125,000 anymore. It'll be what? $200?
Well, it's 1,100 square feet on 3/4 of an acre.
150, 175, being conservative.
Okay. In 10 years, it's now worth 150, 175, and you've made money from day one.
Right.
Okay. What in what world does that not make sense to you? Tell me.
I'm just being just too conservative. I'm just
Listen, you know I'm all about conservative. I think I'm good. But when you actually have a money-making opportunity from day one, and it's not like you're going to make a lot of money. You're going to make $2,400 a year.
Right.
But you've got let me put it to you in terms that I think make more sense, right? You've got $25,000 and you're going to earn roughly 10% on your money.
Right.
Because you got $25,000 down, and you're going to clear $200 a month. That's $2,400 a year. That's roughly 10% on your money. Just on that in a straight line basis.
Okay, right.
Your money's not earning that in a bank, and it's going to be a long time to come before it earns that.
Right. Okay. Well, my personality kind of, I like to find more deals. This seems to be right now at full value, and that's where I'm having a problem. If I turn around and put it back on the market tomorrow,
you're not making money. You're losing money if you put it on the market tomorrow. This is a buy and hold deal only.
Absolutely, and I agree. I was looking at with the market the way it was and the way the foreclosure went. You look on all the prices that have sold over the last few years, and
what's selling in that neighborhood? What's the price point that it's selling at?
125.
Our house is selling for 125 in the neighborhood?
It's not a neighborhood. It's a standalone on a kind of a main road. You know, it's a farm country out here, so it's no neighborhood per se. So they're kind of scattered in a few mile area, 100 to 125. 100 was more common a year ago. The stuff that sold recently, stuff popped on the market I thought was ridiculous just down the road. Little bit bigger house, asking price 158. It sold in 2 weeks.
So 125 is now the right price.
It seems to be. It seems to be.
And I don't know how long that'll last.
I agree.
So I it could be a bubble, but the bubble might be the 158, not the 125.
Right. And I think it'll always be rentable. It's an old house built.
You're
going to
get a 30-year mortgage for 4%. That actually ameliorates the risk, right?
Oh, that's true. Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
I think you have to think about sort of the long term and the money, and in 10 years what you're doing at 4%. You're going to be very happy you have this house at 4% a few years down the line. Let me know what happens, John. 48 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment with more of the Elise Glink Show, Rebuilding America One House at a Time on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions only on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today. You can always reach me at questions@thinklink.com. Sign up for the free weekly newsletter. It's all good stuff. Let's see if we can fit one more call in. Veronica joins us on the line from Lawrenceville. Hi, Veronica.
Hi, Elise.
What's going on today?
Well, I think we're like everyone else. We're underwater.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to our lender for a, not about doing the HARP. We called the bank. They said that our loan, the investors aren't participating in the HARP program. So we went ahead and submitted our paperwork anyway for the lender's own modification program. So we submitted all the paperwork that we required, and they responded back about 30 days later saying that it was fine, that there's surplus in income. Well, we called them to ask, you know, what were they basing it off of, because they weren't basing it all off of the work that we provided. They really weren't willing to provide us with the information as far as what were the factors aside from what we provided in that worksheet. So I was just trying to see, are they required to provide us with that information?
So it's a little bit hard to hear you, Veronica, so I'm just going to ask a couple of questions. You said that you're not, your bank is not participating in HARP, but what kind of loan do you have? Do you have a Fannie Freddie loan?
No, we do not.
You do not. So,
no.
So you aren't eligible for HARP anyway.
Right.
And is your loan unaffordable to you?
At this
At this point, yes. It's not affordable.
You can't afford your loan. Are you out of work, or is your spouse or partner out of work?
No, it's just, you know, we've had a child, and daycare and other expenses is just, what was a comfortable payment at one point is not any longer.
Okay. And is making more money an option for you?
Not at the time. I mean, we're pursuing other options.
Okay, so if you're not eligible for their own modification program and you're not eligible for the HARP program, I'm sorry to say you're probably out of luck. If you're way underwater and your loan is not affordable to you, you can look at a short sale or you can look at doing a deed in lieu of foreclosure and handing back your house. And you have to decide which of those is right. But the bank is not obligated to help you. Can you tell me what bank it is?
PNC.
PNC?
Correct.
Okay. I thought that they were participating in HARP. Why don't you, we're out of time, you can hear the music starting. Why don't you send me some details of your information about your loan and what's happened to you to questions@thinklink.com, and I will try to take a look at it, into it this week, or have somebody on my staff do it, and we'll see if we can get some answers for you. In the meantime, that offer is wide open for everybody else. questions@thinklink.com. Follow me on Twitter. If you are interested in investing in real estate, go to thinklink.com, click on the red house, take a look at the webinars, because it's 10 days until that price changes, and I would love to have you take advantage of it. I'm Elise Glank. Time to go out and enjoy my Sunday. I hope you're going to do the same. Meet me back here next week, same time, same place, same station, and we'll do it all over again. Have a great week, everybody.